Yes, but when we look at your word, we are able to see the truth, able to see how you're working, and able to stand strong and have confidence in whatever the situation is. And as the world tries to confuse us, you make it so clear, and again, that we're not confused, we're not anxious, and that we can be confident in you no matter what the situation. I pray you would just anoint this message, you anoint me to speak of the Spirit, open every heart to receive, and just, you know, really speak to each person's heart, and they give them confidence and have confidence in you. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to be in 1 Peter, and chapter 2, verse 9. And as I'm just going through this fascinating section of Scripture, and again, the Lord, as we mentioned last week, uses some things like metaphors to communicate to us so that we understand. But let me read this, and then we will see what the Lord is trying to tell us and really communicate to us this morning. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Into his marvelous light. Now, last week we looked at that, the verses just before this, we looked at that we are living stones. We are actually alive. The metaphor God used for believers was living stones, and we're coming to Jesus, the capital T, living stone. So identify Jesus as the living stone, and that we, like living stones, are coming to him, and he is building a temple to God. That's what he says. And again, God uses that metaphor so that we can have an understanding of our relationship with him as he looks down on this world. You know, so we'll go to the temple, you know, like, well, no, there's the temple now is believers in the church, and it spreads worldwide. And so his explanation to understand the relationship to him and how we approach him and how we impact the world is living stones. Jesus, the living stone, we are living stones that come to him. So you have that picture in your mind, you know. Now again, this comes from the Old Testament, so you have Israel and their temple, the country, the priesthood, all that, and so that they move forward. But with Jesus, so we have a physical example, but with Jesus, now we have the spiritual fulfillment. And so, you see this temple you used to go to, now you got this temple, which is the church, built on the cornerstone of Jesus, and all these living stones coming to it. So, therefore, we can come, you here to church this morning, and worship God. We're in the temple. But each church, believing church, is the temple with believers coming, and they worship together. And he says it's important for us to worship together. We are the light of the world. You know, as Israel was to be the light of the world, now the church is the light of the world. Okay, now, so that's last week. So this week, now what do we have? You know, so the spiritual stones are being built up into a spiritual house. Now we see that the believers, now he's talking to believers, and Peter is identifying believers, and so that they understand, you know, how they are different from the world they were called out of. He's making a point. He wants Christians to understand who they are. And nothing has changed in 2,000 years. And so what he's telling us now, we see that believers are what? Believers are, and we're going to look at this. He's saying these things for a reason. A reason, okay? He says that believers are a chosen race. Chosen race. They're royal priesthood. They're a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, so as we put our arms around this, God is like, well, you need to understand who you are and what I'm doing through you. Now, as we look at this and kind of, wow, that's interesting, this comes directly from the Old Testament. the Old Testament. Now, what the Old Testament does gives us a physical picture like, oh, I see this. This makes sense. Oh, the Jews came out of Egypt. And they came into the wilderness. Moses led them out, and they led them into Canaan, or where current-day Israel is now. They established a nation. They built a temple. You know, so that's a picture. That's the physical picture we have in the Old Testament. And it reads like this. Deuteronomy 7:6. He tells the Israelites, "For you are people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, you're my chosen people." That's the Old Testament. New Testament, the church. He's telling the church, you're a chosen race. You're a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You know, you are a holy nation. You are a people of my own possession. So what we have when God says, you saw the pictures? Yeah. Okay, now look at the spiritual reality and how I feel, God goes, and how I will fill the whole world. So it's a powerful thing as we look at it, and he's telling us, and again, it's to encourage us as his body to how we fit into the world and how he uses us. So we are God's own possession, his treasured possession, chosen race, holy nation. Yeah, it's like, who is that? I mean, who could these people possibly be? It's a church. It's the believing church. Now, when you look at this, they're really just two races of people. Lock that in. There's only two races. When God steps back and looks at the world, there's only two races. Only two. There's a Christian race, and there's the non-Christian race. That's all there is. That's all there is. From God's eye, that's all there is. Now, and God's holy nation is the church. Is the church. It's very interesting, you reading some of the old, you know, writers, and when the United States was established, and it was established, the basis was Christianity. They were believers, but even the non-believers lived off of Christian principles. They accepted Christian principles, but they may not have been believers. But that's how the nation was thought. And a lot of preachers at the time felt like, and throughout the ages, years, that the United States was going to be the power that bring forth, you know, to establish, you know, the kingdom of God on earth, you know, on its Christian principles, see. And it's, you know, like a holy nation. And God bless, all those things are true that God works through the United States. But the United States is not the holy nation. The church is the holy nation. It's the church, see. It's the church. And he never intended for it to be anything else but the church. And it's like, okay. So we have to rise above sometimes the difficulties and recognize, no, it's us. The church is God's holy nation, his holy priesthood, his holy priesthood. So with this, what Peter is saying here with these verses, what he is saying here is that Jesus and the church are the only unifying possibility for the world. He's like, the United States is going to solve the world's problems. It's not going to happen. I mean, you just can't get it done. God never intended to get it. He intended, he has his purpose, he works through it. But no, the unifying thing, how can we, you know, you hear people say, which is kind of frightening, this world, or I actually say this, the world order, we got to be concerned with the world order. And God goes, no, you know, it's what you need to, the only thing that's going to unify the world is Jesus Christ and the church. That's what unifies the world, is Jesus Christ and the world. Any other great combine of people to go into the world is like the Tower of Babel. Babel, you know, I mean, had a good shot there. Everybody spoke the same language. They built the Tower of Babel. He goes, and it's funny what God said. He said, you know, anything's going to be possible for them. Not good. So he just changed everybody's language. Couldn't talk to anybody, you know. And they just sit in this group, and they went. But he saw that the unity, the global thing which they were built, says this is not good. It's not. It's built on man's effort. It's not built on God. And so that's kind of the things you had working at the time. And And so where you have, when you see that, and again, the important thing is to understand it, is to understand who we are, and then it helps you answer questions and lies that come your way, okay? And so, holy nation, we're the chosen race. And so there is a unity, there is a globe, but it's a church. It's a global unity of the church that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Got that? That's why God sees it, and that's how he's going to work. I always tell people that Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to gather up his church. Who is that? It's individual believers who trust in him. See, that's what he's going to do. So we it's important that we recognize that, and this is exactly what these verses are saying. A chosen race. A chosen race. What's the ethnic background? They love Jesus. It's all one ethnicity. So those are the things he's saying. Now, I'm really hesitant to say this, but I really believe it's the truth, and I just don't like to get in what the world is doing and everything. But see, this, in my humble opinion, I believe these verses warn us against human theories that separate us, like critical race theory. You look at it, it separates us. It separates each race, and you're blaming one, letting one off and stuff. And I think because of that, at the very core, I think it's demonic. I think it's evil. It's meant to destroy. It's meant to turn people against each other. And it's like, well, because the chosen race, you know, which race is the chosen race? Is the church. You're the chosen race. That's the way God looks at it. And I made a whole bunch of people, you know, in this chosen race with all these things I love. And I want to bring them together. And he brings them together through the church. He brings them together through the church. Now, so what we see at this, it's so... The reason is when we see this, if we were the verses preceding the ones we're looking at now, 1 Peter talks about the ungodly. Okay, he's talking about, listen, they're just ungodly and here's these problems. And then he starts speaking to us specifically. And that's the reason the first two words in 1 Peter 2:9 are really important. And it starts with this, but you. Who's the but you? It's us. Here's the world, but you. See, here's that they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're doing this, and they're like, this is a mess. And he goes, but you. But you are the chosen race. But you are the priesthood. But you are the holy nation. But you are my own possession. So we're the but you folks, right? It's nice to be here in the but you folks, and we're all one race. We're all one race in God's eyes. Now, this means there's a very different prospect between unbelievers and believers. With the but you, God is proclaiming a privileged status for the Christian church. And he identifies believers as a chosen race. Now, any one of us, we could read this, and people, if you share it, says, well, that's awful arrogant, and you think you're awful special. You know, that's not a very humble thought. You know, you can imagine sharing to people around you, and you go, "Well, yeah, I know, but that's what God told me about me." That's what God's telling us about us. We are the but you. We are the but you, and so he is the one. He's working through his believers is the chosen race. The chosen race. We're the but you. And it's like, how can you say that? Well, God told me. You know, he told me. It's me. It's told me that we are. So the thing of it is, don't worry about the outside world because they don't believe it. But what's important is for the church to know that we are the but you. We should be really excited. Because we are the but you. He told Israel, all the nations, I chose you as my possession. Well, what about all the other nations? I chose you. You're the but you. So we have a really privileged position. And I know as we send, you know, the kids to go off to college and face the world, you want them to know as they face the world, you are the but you. You know, but they did this. I know, but you. You're not them. You have a different whole kingdom that you're in, and the way you function and the power you function in, and what to function in that, you have to understand who you are. You are the but you. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, you know, chosen out of the world. Now, and so, and again, this comes out of the Old Testament again. Here's another verse in Deuteronomy. This says the same thing. Again, the Old Testament's a physical picture. The New Testament now under Christ is the spiritual reality. So look at Deuteronomy 14:2. For you are a people holy to the Lord, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Not of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Out of all the people on the face of it, God has chosen you to be a people of his treasured possession out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. They're the but you. You're the but you. And you think, oh my goodness. But he's saying it now. Well, the whole world's in darkness. And yeah, that's right. But you, I called out. You're not part of the darkness. But you, I spoke to. But you, I spoke the word to. But you, I am taking care of. I called you out of the whole world. And it's like, wow, that can get kind of heady. He said, it should be. But it's heady in the sense that you submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's okay, if I'm about you and you're the king, speak to me, lead me, show me what I should do. So it really is fascinating. Now this is tied in 1 Peter and other places, but it's a further reminder of the new birth. You know, you are born again, a new birth. You're born into a new kingdom. There's a new birth, a new spiritual birth. And when that new spiritual birth happens, you join a divine family. God's people, the but you people, that are the reason this earth even exists. Did you know the earth exists because of you but you people? You know, that's the reason he preserves it. So we're part of that divine family and become God's chosen race. And that's when he says, in other places, you're born again. You're born into the kingdom. You remember what Nicodemus, the Pharisee, man of the law, asked Jesus, wants to know how you can come to know God. And Jesus goes, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus totally understood the Old Testament, didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about. And what Jesus said, but you have to be born again. You have to receive the Savior, the Holy Spirit, and then you become part of God's kingdom. You are the but you. You need to be born again. You need a new birth to be in the divine family, which would come through Jesus. And so, furthermore, believers are a royal priesthood, and this priesthood applies to all believers. Now, see, again, if you study the Old Testament, to come to God, you had to come to the temple or the tabernacle, and you'd come to the priesthood, and you'd, you know, make a sacrifice or do whatever you did, give what you had to, and then the priest would go before God. People couldn't, just the priest. So he says, now you're the priest. You're the priest. Here in the church, you're the priest. You're the royal priesthood. You go before God yourself. Nobody goes before you. You go. So it says you are the royal priesthood. And it applies to all believers. You know, I said, I'm Priest Wallace. And it kind of has a ring to it, doesn't it? Hey, I'm Priest Wallace. Like, now you come, you need your sins forgiven. Come to me, you know, and then I'll go to God. You know, or if you get a sacrifice, give it to me, and I'll take my cut and then give the rest to God. You know, no, that's not what it is. You each are priest, and you each go before the Lord on your own. I have nothing to do with it. Not a thing to do with it. Not a thing to do with it. So That's what it's talking about. You are a priesthood. All believers are a divine priesthood who individually can go before the God, go before God. Thus, believers, the church, and this, and think about this. The New Testament's based on the Old Testament. So it really helps understand the fulfillment of the New Testament if you know what's going on in the Old Testament. But so what we have here, because of this, the believers, the Christian church, is a new spiritual race, a new spiritual priesthood, a new spiritual nation, not based on any ethnic identity, but on allegiance to Jesus Christ, who is truly King of Kings. My ethnic background, my ethnic, because I'm born again, is a child of God, and who leads me is King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore I have become, and that's because I've become part of the chosen race, because of what Jesus did, and I accepted it. I accepted it. I am a willing follower of the King who called me. And then he did all that for me through the Lord Jesus Christ. As members of a holy nation, all believers are set apart. Now, this is funny. You think about, somebody come to the United States, like people, that's funny, you kind of watch TV and stuff, and, you know, people hear, you know, you hear on the news that people don't like this country. But one of the big issues we have is all these people coming to this country. You know, it's like, a lot of people like this place, you know, but they're at the, so you got two things going. They're coming, you know, and it's because it's a good nation. But the thing, it's not the holy nation. This is the church. See how the church works. Hey, we want, come on. Yeah, the church, come on. You know, we'll give you everything we have. We'll give you the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, that's how the church grows. That grows, you know. And it truly does, is one that calls all people into one people. All people into, doesn't divide people. Well, here's a gospel for you, and here's a gospel for you, and here's what, no. It calls all people to one church. One church. And it's a believing church. We have different places of meeting, but believing churches. Now, so as believers of this church, when God says, this is my nation, he's talking about the Christian church, the believers in the world. That's his nation. That's his nation. And this is a worldwide spiritual race belonging to God. And he tells us to refer to each other as children and brothers and sisters. Family stuff, you know? Family stuff. That's what God taught you. It's all family stuff. And as God's chosen race, we have the unified purpose for which God has chosen us. Now, this is, you know, I mean, and we talk some, and I ask, like, God, what do you want me to do? What do you, you know, and God kind of tells me, man, I don't want you to do it. I just want you to be something, you know, personally be something. And so what God has called us is a church, is a chosen people. He's called us. And the thing, what it says in this verse, the reason what he called us to do is to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into a wonderful light. There's the big to-do. What are you supposed to do? It's like, I'm chosen of God. Christ paid the penalty for my sins. I'm forgiven. I'm part of the chosen race. I just praise him. Done. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what, you know, I mean, God may call you to be an engineer or accountant or whatever, housewife or, you know, but no, his specific call is to give praises to him. That is his number one call, is to give praises to him. Now, I've said this before, and you hear like politicians, which, you know, I mean, how can you find a good example in politicians? But you'll, and I've heard, you know, I've heard different people stand up and they'll make a comment and say, well, you know, my religion is personal and I just don't talk about it in public. You know, well, that's a sin. That's a sin. I mean, because God says, well, I called you, you're here, you're a chosen person to speak. Well, I like being a called a person, but I ain't saying nothing. Just me and you, you know. I said, no, that's not what you do. You're excited. Now, why are you excited? I'm going to talk to this person, knock on the door, and say, if you don't believe what I say, you're going to hell. You know, no. You're supposed to offer praises to him that he has forgiven you, that you are forgiven, and you praise him, and your life is around him, and you just love him. That's what you're supposed to say. That's what you're supposed to say. And we get in all sorts of arguments and say, no. What we do is to call him. In Peter, he has a great verse. He says, be ready with an answer to anyone who asks. See, I mean, and what they're asking about, man, you just love Jesus. You think everything's going to work out. You think you're going to heaven. Why do you believe that? Well, they just ask. See, but they ask because of our whole countenance and our view with the Lord offering praises to him. That's why. That's why. So, and by the way, the gospel means good news. And that's good news, right? Oh, man, I just love Jesus. This is great. He saved me. And chosen race. How can you say you're the chosen race? They ask. So you tell them. See? And so that's how God uses his people and he spreads his church. And we're inviting people in to become part of the body, the chosen race, the holy nation of God, the holy nation of God. So we are to declare praises of him who called us out of darkness. See? And see, that's the way God looks at it. All the people, it's darkness, and we don't come to the light. Therefore, to come to the light, we need to be a light. How do we be a light? We're praising Jesus. See? Like, oh, I'm not a good light, I just have to be perfect. No. If you could be perfect, Jesus wouldn't have to come. The reason Jesus came is you're not. And so it's a focus. It's a whole change of the focus we have here. So what God is telling us, the church, is that at one time we belong to the cumulative lost people of the world. Now, doesn't that sound terrible? You know, but it's just the truth. You know, you can be a little more diplomatic the way you say it and stuff. But what God has done at one time, we know we belong to the cumulative lost people of the world. But God made us believers, the church, the holy nation, and people of God. See, we're in this darkness with everybody else. You know, there's one place where it says, if you're in darkness and just do these things, and everybody will wonder, like, why don't they do these other things anymore? Why aren't they doing these other things? You know, and they'll ask, well, why are you doing this? You know, well, as I love Jesus, cleanse, you know, the power. So what God has done, we weren't a people, we were in the non-Christian race. We were in the non-Christian race. And so what happens, when God shares with us, someone shares the gospel, then we come into the chosen race. This is two races. That's the way God looks at it. Just two races. Just two races. And look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Now again, this is the next verse. You know, we see this is the next verse. Now, he says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I mean, see, we're the people. We're just tickled to death about being in the Christian race. We're just happy. Okay, we're happy people like that. So he says here, the next verse, once you were not a people, you're somebody else. You know, if somebody came in, they're a citizen of the United States, and they've been here 5 years ago. You know, 5 years ago, you weren't a citizen. Now you're a citizen, but you weren't a citizen. Well, he's telling us the same thing. He said, once you were not a race, you were not a people, you were in the non-Christian race. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people, the chosen race, holy nation, holy nation. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen? See? I mean, this, and what's important, I know I'm just beating the drum on this, but this is what God is telling us about us. You know, it's like, oh, you read the Bible and tell you all about God, and this is God, and he's magnificent, and that's true. But this is not what he's doing. He's telling us about us. And the problem is we don't believe what God is telling us about us. Because one reason is we listen to that other non-Christian race. That's who we're listening to, you know. And it's like, no, listen to me, because you're another race. You are the Christian race. You are a Christian race. You're a different people. You know, you're a different nation. And he wants us to realize that, and it gives us confidence. We walk into this world, and it's like somebody, you know, I mean, I don't want to offend anybody, you know, say somebody from Greenland. Anybody here from Greenland? Okay. Guy from Greenland says, you know, I don't like your country, I don't like you, and I think you're stupid. You're from Greenland? I mean, I'm sitting here, Ashburn, and you're from Greenland. Do they even have electricity there? You know, you could get real insulting. But the point of it is, why would I listen to this guy from Greenland? Why? There's no reason he showed me no credibility whatsoever. Well, see, this is what God's saying about the church. He goes, you're a glorious nation, a chosen race, and all these people running around in the darkness that don't have a clue of how to solve the world's problems, and you're listening to them. Why? Why are you listening to them? You're the chosen nation. Well, what about, don't worry about that. You're the chosen nation, all right? And, you know, and Jesus told the disciples, go to all nations, share the gospel. Oh, you know, why? Because they're a dark, lost race. And we won't bring them in to be the chosen race. Because when God comes back, God's going to come back. And I have no reason why I'm picking on Greenland. I mean, just because it's so far from my mind. So poor, I know there's believers in Greenland, but I don't know any. But it's like God is going to come back and he's going to gather his church. You know, it's like God's going to come back and he's going to gather everybody in Greenland. It's like, whoa, what about the rest of them? You know, no, he's coming back for everybody in Greenland. That's his chosen race. But he is coming back for his chosen race, his nation, his holy nation, his chosen race all around the world. Churches all around the world. That's who he's coming for. He's going to come for them because that's his chosen race. Greenland's not his chosen. There are some people in Greenland that are chosen. I know they are. I just, like I said, don't know it. But I'm just trying to drive home the point. God looks, this is what God's telling about us, who we are in a dark nation. We're his people. Oh, God, I don't know what to do. Just praise him. Just praise him. You know, I just love Jesus. I just love Jesus. You know, it's like, okay. Now, don't worry about anything. Yeah, you know, it goes back to like Jesus is the cornerstone. And without that good cornerstone, you can't build a building. That's the point. Just like if you can't build a building. So he's building a building, a cornerstone, and the foundation, he's building this temple. Well, we won't get in arguments about, it's like building a house. You know, you have a cornerstone, then you build the rest of the house. And then all these people won't get in arguments. Like, on the fourth story, I don't understand why you made the windows like that. And on the third story, I don't know why you made that floor plan like that. And, like, I don't understand you using the material you're doing. What he doesn't understand is the foundation. And we're trying to explain all this stuff to him, and he didn't get it. But we understand the foundation connected to the cornerstone of Jesus, then it makes sense. Oh, it's on that foundation. Yeah. You see, what I'm encouraging is don't argue about stupid things. If you want to argue about all this crazy thing about the house, just tell them about the foundation. And if you're really interested, they'll want to know what the foundation is. So we think, well, I don't know enough to talk to lost people. No, you don't. How come you're a believer? You got to know that Jesus is Christ. He paid the penalty for your sin. That's all you need to know. And that's the cornerstone which you build the foundation. And then from then, you can share with people all sorts of things. And it's easier once you understand the foundation. Once you understand the foundation. And so this is what, so God is trying to get off. But listen, you are all of everything. You're the temple. You're the priest. You know, the whole thing. You're a holy nation. It doesn't get any better than you. You know, it doesn't get any better than you. And so now the world's full of people who says they're Christians, right? I just had a thought. I'll share it. It's funny to me. It may not be funny to you. I shared the gospel with my father. He's 83. I mean, I shared it for 50 years with him, and he just turned me into pretzels. And he really wasn't disagreeable. I just couldn't explain his questions. It's like, and he'd never been to church or anything. But I was able to share. But he made this comment, and I was able to use it to share the gospel. And so he's an old cowboy. Old cowboy. And I'm tying this to people who say they're Christians. Okay, they're Christians, but they're not. They get us all confused. So that's the context. And he said he trained this horse for this girl. He says, it's one of the best horses I ever saw. And he said, I trained it for this girl. And he said, she didn't know nothing, but it's a good horse. And so I told her, he says, you ride this horse. I told her what to do. And he says, listen, you're going to have somebody come up and tell you they're a cowboy. They're going to tell you that. I'm telling you right now, they're not. They're not a cowboy. They just tell you they're a cowboy. And if you ever let him get on her horse, your horse, he'll run him. He'll never work the way he's supposed to do. But you see what I said? Somebody's going to come up to you and say they're a cowboy. That's the danger. They say that, but they're not. And you don't know, so don't let them get on your horse. So it happened to this girl. Get that messed her horse up. She brought it back to my dad and says, would you fix him? She says, no, I told you not to do that. It's your problem. Now, that probably wasn't the most gracious thing. You get repentance, but anyway, he's done. Okay, Vince is like. But now, do you see what I'm saying? Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm a cowboy. I'm an NFL football player. I'm a, you can say whatever you are, you know, but you're not. See, so don't believe people that aren't Christians and who say they are Christians. You know, proof's in the pudding. You know, you'd be nice and loving, but proof's in the pudding. So this is what we're talking about here. God's going to come back for his people that are dedicated to him, holy priesthood, a holy nation, not just people who say they are. And he knows. He knows, by the way. But the point of it is, who are we? Who are you? I appointed you. You're a chosen race, holy priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're God's own possession. That's what God says to us. That's what he says. And the problem is for us to believe what he said. He said. Now, as we go through this, the Jerusalem temple of stone is now replaced by living stones of the new spiritual temple of believers. The old priesthood is now replaced by the royal priesthood shared by all believers who enjoy a direct personal access to God. The Old Testament sacrifices are now replaced by our sacrifice of praise. No more dead sacrifices, only believers, the church, as living sacrifices. And they present themselves to God. Hallelujah. Man. Now, I won't make an application today because if Scripture doesn't apply and we don't use it, and again, I don't want to pull up anything to necessarily cause dissension, but we should know God's chosen race is the body of Christian believers. Both Jew and Gentile have divine blessings is God's people available through the Messiah. If you've ever seen, gone through, and we see it at the Dove conferences, have been to several conferences, I mentioned this before, but you'll have as many 50 and 60 different nationalities. And they come together and they worship God together and different people speak. It's overwhelming. I mean, it's almost like you can't contain your composure. And like when they sing together and like they'll go and each nation will sing the same song and come out. I mean, it's overwhelming. See, they're one nation. They're one nation. They're God's people. And that's what heaven's going to be like. They're a chosen people. They're a chosen people. Now, I'm going to ask you three questions. I'm not going to try to give you the answer. But based on these, because it's the point of it is what you believe. not what I believe or what I think. So I'm just asking you three questions that, you know, impacts us today and say, well, what's the answer? Okay, based on these two verses, 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. Based on this scripture, is the church essential? Based on the scripture, is it appropriate to divide the races through critical race theory? Just these two verses. Based on scripture, who is the chosen race, holy nation, God's own possession? See, and the only way we know this is because this is what it says. God tells us. That's why we know and we can stand confident. You know, and that's our foundation. So we stand and we don't have to move on that. We don't have to be uncertain about that. And therefore, this is how we end. Therefore, with the whole believing church, we as the chosen race, declare, okay? And I just put this one, it couldn't be anything, 1 Corinthians 2:2. This is how smart we are. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I've decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the cornerstone. Don't start anyplace else. Don't start anyplace else. Because to build the building, you've got to have the cornerstone. And that's the cornerstone. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray. I thank you for these verses. And Lord, I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for that you reveal who we are, Lord. It's just overwhelming when we think about who we are. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray you that as we focus upon you and our time, you know, any time we focus upon you, that we could realize who we are, and that you want us to recognize who we are. And we thank you for that. And I pray through the Holy Spirit, you would teach us, open our minds, guide us in the different things of life. And Lord, that we know that our purpose is to give you praise. That's it. Just to give you praise. I love Jesus. You know, I mean, that will kind of direct a conversation. I just love Jesus. And that, Lord, you'll use it for your wisdom. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. And do, Lord, too, I want to thank you for the fathers here, a specific prayer for the fathers. And because in this world, one thing that's true, Satan is attacking the family. He's attacking the family. And, Lord, and certainly the ladies are under attack. But, God, you are absolutely trying to destroy the men. Absolutely destroy the men. Destroy masculinity. Destroy the strength of a man standing up for his father. The strength of a man protecting his family. The strength of a man to provide for his family. You are destroying. Satan is trying to destroy fathers and men. And Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we rebuke him and we pray that each man continue as they are, stand up for their family, direct their family, and that to attack each man's family, Satan has to work through the man. He has to work through the man. He can't go around the man. So I pray each man would stand up strong. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give thanks to you and say happy Father's Day in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I was going to have Greg's.